Cape Talk.
The U.S. Report with Adrian Bruni, who joins us some days of the week just to give us the latest updates of the happenings that are taking place in the United States. And so without further ado, we say good morning to Adrian Bruni all the way from Manhattan in New York. How's it going, Adrian?
It's going well. How are you, Ab?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. But I took it seriously, but now I'm even taking it more and more seriously. This whole North Korea issue, it's not going away.
No, and we're inching closer to something because neither side is backing down. Saying Kim Jong-un is begging for war. U.S. Envoy Nikki Haley asked the U.N. for the strongest possible sanctions on Pyongyang and admitted that President Donald Trump has given conceptual approval to a massive weapon sale to Seoul, South Korea. The U.N. is still seeking a diplomatic solution, as is China, which does not want a nuclear crisis. But China also doesn't want to cede regional power to America. Meanwhile, South Korean media has reported that North Korea was moving what appeared to be a ICBM or intercontinental ballistic missile toward its west coast. And then Russian President Vladimir Putin has chimed in on all of this, warning that the escalating North Korean crisis could cause a, quote, planetary catastrophe, unquote, and a huge loss of life. He described U.S. proposals for further sanctions on North Korea as useless. So here I have a clip of U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley at yesterday's U.N. Security Council meeting. It was an emergency meeting called because of Sunday's actions.
Over the past 24 years, the North Korean nuclear program is more advanced and more dangerous than ever. They now fire missiles over Japanese airspace. They now have ICBM capabilities. They now claim to have tested a hydrogen bomb. And just this morning, there are reports that the regime is preparing for yet another ICBM launch. To the members of the Security Council, I must say, enough is enough. We have taken an incremental approach, and despite the best of intentions, it has not worked. Members of this council will no doubt urge negotiations and a return to talks. But as I've just outlined, we have engaged in numerous direct and multilateral talks with the North Korean regime, and time after time, they have not worked. The time for half measures in the Security Council is over. The time has come to exhaust all of our diplomatic means before it's too late.
Yeah, interesting times, Adrian, I'll tell you that much. I suppose, you know, it's always easy when you're talking from the other side, you know, enough is enough, but you're not going to be in the firing line and you're not going to be seeing people being vaporized by a nuclear weapon. Nonetheless, we move to Hurricane Irma. What's the latest there?
Yes. So where she stops, nobody knows exactly, but Florida and Puerto Rico have declared states of emergency as Hurricane Irma moves west through the Atlantic. Now, a host of other Caribbean islands are bracing for a direct hit. While her ultimate path remains uncertain, meteorologists say that the Category 5 Irma is almost upon islands such as Antigua and Barbuda, with near-record 180 miles per hour sustained winds. So forecasts are saying that it could turn toward Florida over the weekend, so everyone is battening down once more.
Hurricane after hurricane, you sort of wonder if Donald Trump would ever admit that perhaps this whole global warming phenomenon is not a phenomenon. It's actually an issue that needs to be dealt with. But nonetheless, the latest when it comes to President Donald Trump. Talk to me.
Sure. So as expected, President Donald Trump announced yesterday that his administration would end an Obama-era program that allowed young undocumented immigrants to live in the country without fear of deportation. He called the program unconstitutional, and he challenged Congress to address the issue, which Congress has tried over many years. So we'll see where that goes. Nevertheless, Trump's decision has sparked fears that nearly 800,000 immigrants who have lived illegally in the U.S. since they were children would be subject to removal once the government their government-issued work permits expired under the Deferred Action for Child Arrivals program. Now, Washington and New York State say that they will sue to keep the program, and 18 other states also signed a July letter vowing to defend DACA among Dreamers. In a lengthy post on his Facebook page, Obama called Trump's move cruel and said that the decision was about basic decency and whether, quote, we are a people who kick hopeful young strivers out of America, or whether we treat them the way we'd want our own kids to be treated. It's about who we are as a people. Unquote. So Obama's weighing in. Of course, Trump's decision reverses his executive order to keep the immigrants in after Congress could not come to a decision.
You know, it's just always, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm biased also when it comes to Trump, but it feels like every time it's always about undoing Obama's whatever Obama did, and maybe that's not such a bad thing to do, but I just want to see him implement some of his new things that he said he would implement. I mean, things like, yeah, he did say he would build the wall. When are we seeing this? Such things, you know, but nonetheless. Adrian, let's get down to sports. The U.S. Open.
Yeah, on to happier things. Venus Williams at age 37 has just advanced to the semifinals, beating Czech Petra Kvitova in a third set tiebreak. Now, that match just ended just about 15 minutes ago. She is among four Americans in the quarterfinals and will play the other another American, Sloane Stephens, who is also a comeback queen, on Thursday. So if all four Americans advance to the semifinals, it will be the first time since 1985. So up now, American Sam Querrey is up against your homeboy, Kevin Anderson from South Africa. The 6'6", or 6 feet, 6-inch Querrey and 6 foot, 6'8" Anderson are meeting in the tallest Grand Slam match ever of the Open era. Now, Querrey is 8'6" against Anderson, but if he wins, he could become also the first homegrown U.S. Open semifinalist since Andy Roddick in 2006. So it's been a dry spell for Americans for about 11 years now. So right now, Anderson is ahead 2-1 in the first set. So it's going to be a slam fest. Be a great match. You should turn it on.
Absolutely fantastic. You know, whenever you talk about the Williams, you know, it's a family that I'm very drawn towards, if you want to put it like that. Adrian, it's too early in the morning to start discussing the Williams family. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Sure. Speak soon.
All right, we do this on Friday again. Adrian Brunny, all the way from Manhattan in New York, giving us the U.S. report, just looking at the latest news coming out of the U.S.